The following podcast is from the weekly message at Summit Church in Upstate South Carolina. More information is available at summitupstate.org.
Good morning. Maybe I feel like a stranger to you. Maybe I should reintroduce myself. My name's Terry. I actually serve as the campus pastor here. Serve as one of the guys on the team, for real. It is good to be back with you. I do want to say thank you for those of you who prayed for me and my family while we were away. We, in fact, received several notes and cards in the mail on our six-week sabbatical, and just the kind words, the thoughts, the prayers that you guys articulated to us, incredibly, incredibly grateful. And we made some really sweet memories together with my kiddos, with my bride. I'm thankful for the experience, what the Lord has taught me, is continuing to teach me coming out of sabbatical. And I don't know, maybe in the days to come, I think it's probably going to come out in the things that we talk about here. But an unforgettable experience, and it's one that I believe I will forever cherish. Psalm 147, I hope you're there. Stay there. If you're not, you can join us in Psalm 147 today as we wrap up our summer series, looking at the theme of wisdom in Psalms and Proverbs. I trust it's been an encouraging time for you. I hope the resource, the prayer guide, has been resourceful and encouragement to you on your spiritual journey, for your travels and for your time with the Lord throughout this summer. As you've read the psalm, I'm not going to go back and read through it collectively. We're going to walk through portions of this psalm this morning. But as you look at Psalm 147, what stands out? Thankfulness. I think that's one of the things that stands out. Gratitude. Praise. In fact, Psalm 147 begins and ends with the same phrase. Praise the Lord. It is the beginning of a series of psalms all the way to 150. They all begin and end with that phrase. Praise the Lord. And what we discover in Psalm 147 are essentially are reasons why the Lord is worthy of our praise. That's what the psalmist is going to give us. Praise the Lord on the front end. Praise the Lord on the back end. And in the middle of these 20 verses are what I would say nine reasons why. Nine characteristics, nine things of how and why you and I should and can praise the Lord. But I think we can condense the nine, and that's what we're going to do this morning. I think you can condense those nine things into two primary thoughts, two primary categories that the psalmist will, he'll kind of go back and forth throughout this psalm and in this passage. And here are the two things we hear him praising the Lord for. One is his majesty, his supremacy, his greatness, if you will. The other being his nearness, his goodness, his presence, his intimacy. So you have in one category the greatness, the awestruck wonder of God, his supremacy, his glory, his beauty, his power, his wisdom. And in the next category, you have his nearness, his presence, his closeness. Maybe we could say it this way this morning to give us a landing spot to really work from, a foundation. We praise him because he is sovereign over all things, and he is sustainer of our every need. We praise him because he is sovereign over all things, and he is sustainer of our every need. Let me unpack that a little bit further. Maybe another way we could say that: he is worthy to be praised because he is above all things, and yet he is also very near to us. We can't separate those two things about God. Now, we try. I try. There are 101 ways on every single, in every single day, in every circumstance, in every phase of life that we attempt maybe to separate those two realities about God. But here's the thing, you can't do that. I can't do that. In fact, we need him to be both of those things all the time. I don't know where I would be this morning if God wasn't both of those things. In fact, you and I have no hope this morning if he is not both of those things. I couldn't be anything close to what my wife needs, to what my children need, if God isn't both. I'm not standing up here this morning if he's not both. In fact, I have no reason to. I have no reason to say anything to you worth saying if he's not both. You have no reason to be here if he isn't both. He is over all things, and yet he walks with me. Now, just can we pause right there for a moment and contemplate that reality? He is sovereign over all. He is above all. He's creator, he's sustainer, he's redeemer. He is power, he is wisdom. And yet he walks with me. How does that sit with you this morning? Amen. Where does that land on you? I think a question maybe to pose is, are you living in the reality of these truths this morning? Maybe in uncertainty and difficulty, maybe the question to pose to your own heart is, can I proclaim his greatness and his goodness? Can I proclaim his greatness and his nearness? Or despite the season, you know, some of you walk in here today, and my guess is it's a pretty measurable season for you. It's good. Things are pretty fluid. Things are working out the way that you would hope. My question is, in that moment, the temptation in those moments is to really ignore his nearness, isn't it? To ignore his power and might and goodness and his supremacy. And I wonder if this season is a good season for you. Do you find the posture of your heart being one of praise, gratitude, thankfulness? The reason I'm posing these questions is because I think Psalm 147 forces us to answer those kinds of questions. I think Psalm 147 will force you and I to take a deep look within our own heart and go, this is where I'm at. And in fact, if the Bible doesn't have that kind of power, and the Spirit of God doesn't work in that way with any particular passage, then why do we read it? Why do we meet to, you know, collectively together and study it and then ask the Lord to speak to us? That's what I want to do this morning. He's sovereign. He's sustainer. I want to keep putting that before you. He's great. He's near. He's above all things, and yet he walks with us. The psalmist says, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Look at verse 4 with me. He determines the number of the stars. He gives to all of them their names. Great is our Lord, abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure. Now, when I read that, I was reading that several times the past couple weeks. What initially came to my mind is this interaction between the Lord and a guy by the name of Abraham. You remember Abraham? Think about the story, and I think it's Genesis 15, where Abraham is called out of his tent to look up at the stars. This is the invitation of the Lord to him in this moment. Abraham, come out. And for Abraham in this moment, he doesn't understand all that God is doing in his life. But God makes Abraham a promise. And that's all that Abraham has, by the way. He has this promise spoken by Yahweh to him. God's word declared to Abraham. That's all Abraham had. God said, "This is my promise. This is my word. This will come to pass." And he says, "Abraham, look up at the stars. I want you to count them if you can." That's what he says. But you and I know he can't count them. He can't count the stars. He can't even begin to get close to grasping the vastness of what his eyes behold. But I want you to look at the stars, Abraham, and here's what I want you to see. I want you to see that's how massive my promise is to you. And here in Psalm 147, the psalmist reminds us that God, who is majestic, is also creator. He doesn't just know the number of stars. He knows them by name. What a powerful affirmation. What a powerful claim. God doesn't just know what's out there. He created what's out there. He doesn't just know the stars and their place in the galaxy. He named them. Abraham, I know you don't understand your situation right now. I know you don't know what I'm doing and what I'm up to. You can't comprehend it. But I want you to look up at the stars. And as you look up at the stars, I want you to feel how small you are, how limited your knowledge is. But Abraham, my knowledge, not limited. My wisdom, not limited. I know all. I see all. The ability to create, it's beyond your comprehension. The power to uphold and sustain, it's beyond your very, very limited ability. The wisdom to understand, mine unlimited. And beyond your finite perspective. What are we to do with that? Praise the Lord. But look at verse 3. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Now, don't run past what you just read. I skipped over that for a reason. Verses 4 and 5 cause us to lift up our eyes, in some sense, to try to grasp the majesty of God. And verse 3 allows us to bring our eyes back down and go, "Are you serious? This is the kind of God who loves me? He heals the brokenhearted, binds up their wounds." Verse 6, "The Lord lifts up the humble." Do you see it? All powerful, all wise, all supreme God is not distant from you. For me, he isn't far from us. He isn't too high above us that he is removed. No, the God of the universe that knows every star by name is also near to the brokenhearted. He tells us that he brings healing. He restores. He lifts up those who walk in humility. That God is all powerful, all wise, all sufficient. He knows all, in control of all. Yet he walks with me. He walks with us. I want you to listen to these words from the prophet Isaiah of how he understands these realities about God. "To whom then will you compare me, that I should be like him, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who created these. He who brings out their hosts by number, calling them all by name, by the greatness of his might, and because he is strong in power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God. He's the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint. And to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. He is everlasting. The creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint. He does not grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. And yet, he is our very strength. Power to the weak. Who's weak? We all are. Strength to the powerless. Who are the powerless? I am. You are. He says, because he is our strength, we can run and not grow weary. We can walk and not faint. Why or how? It's simple. Because he's near. And the psalmist says, praise the Lord. We see the repetition of it again in verses 7 through 11. We see his bigness and we see his nearness. He's talking about rain, how God governs the rain. He provides rain. It's all governed by the Lord. It's all in his sovereign rule and care. He sets the clouds in the heavens. He causes the rain to grow upon the hills, upon the land, which gives food to the animals, which allows the animals, the birds, to have food and to nourish and to eat. And then he tells us in verse 11, that he takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his steadfast love. The word steadfast there in verse 11 means unwavering. It's resolutely firm and fixed. It cannot move. It cannot waver. It's precise. It's not tired. It's not stale. It's not irrelevant. It's not worn out. It's not forced. It's not coerced. He doesn't love us because he has pity on us or because he feels sorry for us. His sustaining and steadfast love is rooted in his delight and pleasure. The psalmist goes, praise the Lord. Listen, I don't know where this meets you today. But I want you to consider these two things.
Praise the Lord.
If God is great and mighty, yet he is not near to us. He's not accessible. He's not approachable. Then what good is that for us? What good is that? If I'm sitting here this morning and I can at least in word confess his goodness, right? Like the majesty and the glory of God, his bigness. But he doesn't meet me on Monday morning in the uncertainty of my week. He doesn't meet me when I get the doctor's report that is not timely or exactly what I hoped. What good is that? Why are we here? What reason do we have to rejoice and be thankful and grateful if that's not who he is? Or this side of things, if God is kind enough to walk with me, yet he doesn't know what's out in front of me. And he's incapable of healing my brokenness and binding up my woundedness. If he has no power to change and lead and guide, what good is that? The psalmist says, he is both. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I think this still begs the question, what does praise look like? Just a glossary read through the text. Some of you think we're just talking about corporate worship on Sunday and singing songs, right? That's what he tells us to do. Nothing wrong with that. It's actually a beautiful thing. What does praise look like? How do I know if I am truly thankful and filled with gratitude for God's greatness and goodness? I think that's a question worth pondering, and I think he's going to answer in verse 12 through 20. Look down there with me. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion. He strengthens the bar of your gates. He blesses your children within you. He makes peace in your borders. He fills you with the finest of the wheat. Now notice what he does. He sends out his command, which is his word, to the what? The earth. His word, it runs swiftly. He gives snow like wool. He scatters frost like ashes. He hurls down his crystals of ice like crumbs. Who can stand before the Lord? Who can stand before his cold? He sends out, notice his word. He melts them. He makes his wind blow and the waters flow. Notice what he declares also, his word to Jacob. Statutes, rules to Israel. He's not dealt thus with any other nation. They do not know his rules. Praise the Lord. What has the Lord given to his people? His word. Just as God gave to Abraham his word, right? His promise. This is who I am. This is what I am doing. And this is what I will do. Trust me. Believe me. Walk with me. You and I too have his word. Listen, three times in this particular psalm, there are three exhortations to praise. Praise him, praise him, praise him. And every single exhortation is centered upon one premise. And here's that premise. It's the premise of God's self-revelation to his people. That we would receive his word so that we might know who God is. That we might know him and enjoy him and follow him, revere him, love him, enjoy him. It's the same premise that he gave to Abraham. He gave Abraham his word. That's all Abraham had. His word. So that Abraham might know, enjoy, and follow. That Abraham would lay down his agenda and his ambitions and obey the words and ways of Yahweh. We too have his word so that we might know him, the great and majestic God who is also near and present, so that we might follow, so that we might obey and walk in his ways. And praise be to God, his nearness to us is the empowering agent that compels us to walk with him as he walks with us. Now, here's what I want to say about praise. Our praise is not complete until our praise leads us to joyful submission to the will and ways of God. Our praise is not complete until our praise leads us to joyful submission to the will and ways of God. And what I mean by praise is not only the things that we think about him, but it's actually what we proclaim about him as well. Right? It's not actually praise until those thoughts and those words affect us to the core of our being. Right? Till those thoughts and those words and those truths affect us in the everyday. Our decision making, our day to day life. It's not really praise. I can express gratitude and praise for my wife. She's not in here this morning. I can express gratitude and praise about her, to her, and in front of you. So I'm very thankful for, I could be here all day, for her compassionate heart. Thankful for it, grateful for it. I'm going to praise her for that. She's an unbelievable encourager. For those of you in the room who know her, know this to be true. She's unbelievably creative. Many of you don't get to see that all the time. So she's compassionate. She's an encourager. She's creative. But how does Tristan know that those words, my words about her and to her, aren't just empty words? Like, I could easily deceive you, right? I could be up here in front of you because you don't get to go home with me. You don't know how I treat my wife. So my praise this morning would appear, if you trust me, to be authentic and genuine. But it's just words. But you know who can't really be deceived by my words? Is the girl that I'm talking about. How does she know that my words aren't empty? Because my praise could also not just simply be empty, they could be self-serving. Like, her compassion and her encouragement and her creativity are all things that benefit me. So I could be praising her this morning, and it looks like, man, I'm doing a good thing. I'm full of gratitude and thankfulness, but I could just be full of gratitude and thankfulness for all the things that she does that serve me. And that's not really praise. She knows the authenticity of my gratitude by how I walk with her. By how I talk to her. By how I encourage her. How I create space to be with her. How I empower her in the things she enjoys and what God is leading her into. She knows the authenticity of my praise by how I affirm her. She knows whether or not my words are genuine by my response to her. And whether or not I enjoy her. Praise the Lord. Can we do that this morning in song? Absolutely. I love to sing. I don't really need a microphone. But I love to sing. I love to sing to him. Some of you, that's not your jam. Some of you sitting here, you like to audibly praise the Lord out loud. That's love that. Some of you, that's not your jam. Some of you, it's there and you're thinking about everybody else around you and what they're going to think of you. That's petty. Don't worry about that. But real praise goes well beyond our words. It goes to this joyful submission to the one who is not just great, but the one who is good and near. Praise isn't empty words void of real affection. Praise is always and will forever be joyful submission to the will and ways of God. Let me say it this way. Praise without obedience is hypocrisy. Some of us need to be confronted with this today. My own heart needs to be confronted with this. right? Praise without obedience is hypocrisy. It's just empty confession with no real belief tied to that confession. Praise without walking in relationship with the Lord is counterfeit Christianity. Tim Keller, he writes this. He says, ethical behavior without joy-filled worship is counterfeit Christianity. And at the same time, exuberant praise without whole life obedience, that too is counterfeit Christianity. In other words, so if you come into a place like this and you kind of get an emotional high, or it's a feel-good moment, you feel challenged and encouraged, you're ready to go out to Monday, but you're not really willing to obey God in the everydayness of life, there's no real pursuit or active seeking to follow Him in His ways, then you are just using God without truly giving yourself to God. To truly know His greatness, to truly know His goodness. And what you don't understand is that you're trying to separate His greatness from His nearness, and you cannot do that. You need both aspects of His nature and character. Terry, how do I do that? How do I experience His greatness and His nearness? First and foremost, it's through His Son, Jesus Christ. None of us in the room can walk in authentic praise without a relationship with Jesus. And if you long to experience the nearness and the care of God that we've talked about today, that will be found only in and through a relationship with Christ. And here's what He promises, the outworking of experiencing this relationship, right? His nearness, His goodness, His sustaining care. The outworking will be praise. Not just in song, not just in a moment of a corporate gathering of affirming the great truths of God, but it'll be found in walking with Him as He walks with us. That's the beauty of Psalm 147. That's the beauty of praise. So here's where I want to challenge us as we bring this thought closer to an end this morning. I don't want you or I to leave here today without being honest. Honest with yourself, honest before the Lord. Here's an honest truth that I think we all can affirm. We struggle with His greatness and His nearness. We struggle. We struggle to praise Him and to rejoice in Him and to be thankful and grateful for those two realities. Especially when our circumstances aren't great and He doesn't seem so near. Yeah? Been back a week from sabbatical, and I've already had just heavy conversations with some of you in the room about where you are. I look out at this room, and I know some of you walking through some heavy stuff, man. Heavy stuff. I think about the reality of my own heart and the things that I struggle with. I know how hard it is to walk in the beauty and the power of the things that He's calling us to. I struggle with praise and gratitude. And what often happens when we fail to be a people who live from a posture of gratefulness and thankfulness, what happens is we replace praise and gratitude with entitlement and cynicism. That's what happens. And when we replace praise and gratitude with entitlement and cynicism, here's what we're left with. We're left with ungrateful and unthankful hearts. Ungrateful for what we don't have and entitled and cynical about the things that we think we should have. We are an entitled culture. We are a cynical culture. And the great tragedy when we give way to entitlement and cynicism is we are blinded to His majesty, to His glory, to His power, to His wisdom, but also to His nearness. Our circumstances give way to worship because we worship our idols and our circumstances and our expectations over the fact that the God who's in control of every single expectation and every single circumstance is walking with us. I sat down with a young lady in our congregation this week. She's actually sitting here today. I'm not going to call her by name. Going through some very difficult things, and we were talking about this passage together. And just to see tears well up in her eyes with the notion of knowing and believing that God is not only out in front of us. Do you realize how powerful that is? I don't know what 12:30, 1:30, 3:30, 5, I don't know what this afternoon looks like for you or for me, but here's what I know. He goes out before me. That's what I know. Clark and Anna, no idea that this situation with Charlotte and her health would be their summer, but God goes out in front of them. But I need more than just the fact of knowing that He's out there. I need to know He's right here. He's near to the brokenhearted. He's near to restore. He's near to God. And just watching her this week, just tears swell up with the fact that not only is He out there, because that's good, but that's not enough. I need to know that the God who is out there in front of me is also with me, walking with me, guiding me. I need that. You need that. See, the temptation this morning is to downplay the significance of thankfulness and gratitude. Terry, if I'm being honest with myself, I know that I'm not real grateful, but man, at least I don't struggle with this sin. I'm not the most grateful and thankful person, but at least that's not my, at least this isn't my plight. I'm not really a praise person because it doesn't really fit my personality. You know, all the things that we kind of think and say to ourselves about ourselves. But I want you to know how severe this is. Ingratitude affects every single area of your life. Did you know that? I want you to listen to these words in Romans 1. For although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him. And what happened? They became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened, and God gave them over to their reprobate mind and heart. Ingratitude is the reason why we have Genesis 3. You had a man and a woman who refused to be thankful and grateful for who he was, who he is. And the sheer fact of enjoying his presence, ungrateful. Unthankfulness will rob you of every ounce of joy that you have. And when entitlement grows in our hearts, here's what you can be assured of. Joy will always shrink. When cynicism grows, joy decreases because they cannot coexist together. So here's a lesson this morning. A lesson to be learned from Psalm 147. Thankfulness is the pathway to joy. Some of you in this room this morning, you do not believe or feel as though you have joy in this moment, in this season of your life. Here's what I'm going to tell you from Scripture. You want to get there. The pathway is thankfulness. If we are to discover our joy in God, to live in that joy, it will come by the pathway of gratitude and thankfulness in the grace of God. That's how it'll come. I'm going to invite the team to come back out. I'm going to give an illustration. So I want you to hold on to this thought, okay? I was reading this past week an article by an author. Many of the ladies in the room know her, Ann Voskamp. She wrote a book called 1,000 Gifts. I don't know many of you read that. It's a solid resource. And in the article about this book, she details her own journey of struggle with praise and thankfulness. And here's what she writes. She says, "I am a woman who speaks but one language, and here's the language that I speak. Here's the language that I found myself speaking, the language of the fall." And here's what the language of the fall is: discontentment, self-condemnation, the critical eye, never satisfied. And she says, "What I realized was that this language had become my default. But I didn't want to live there. I didn't want to speak that language. I knew I had to change. And I realized that my journey out of entitlement and cynicism couldn't just be accomplished by merely trying not to be cynical and entitled." She said, "I knew I had to learn a new language." And so here's what she determined to do. She determined that not only was she going to stop speaking the language of her fallen condition, that the pathway to doing that would be by replacing cynicism and entitlement with praise, thankfulness. So she set out to write down 1,000 things that she was thankful for. 1,000 things. And through the journey of this practice, she trained her heart to speak a new language. She repented of entitlement and cynicism. And each day, one by one, began to recount all of the ways the Lord displayed His greatness and His nearness. Well, how does she do that, Terry? She opened her eyes and set aside the time to look. She opened her eyes and set aside the time to look. Day by day, she rehearsed His greatness and His nearness. And you know what the Spirit of God did? In that journey, along that pathway, He restored her joy. He gave her a reason to praise and filled her heart with gratitude and thankfulness. If you want joy restored, it'll be along the pathway of thankfulness. And my guess is we're all over the map this morning on the praise and gratitude spectrum, right? But no matter where you are, the path is the same. Joy found in God. Joy in God is found along the path of thankfulness and gratitude in His very precise and particular grace. And His grace is seen in the face of His precious Son, Jesus Christ. So this morning, what I'd like for us to do, we're gonna sing a couple songs. You should have received a little white card on your way in this morning, and a pen. If you didn't receive one of those, you can raise your hand and we'll be glad to get you one of those little cards. Here's what I want you to do for the next few moments while they sing. They're going to sing one song as a time for you to look and proclaim. And then after they sing this song, we're going to stand and proclaim with our voice. But here's what I'd like you to do. I'd like you to take the next few moments to look at His majesty and glory, to look at His nearness, His presence, His care, and just to write down ways that you're thankful. Maybe this morning you're carrying something heavy. It's a difficult season. And today you want to thank Him for His nearness. Others of you in the room, you've seen His power and wisdom in tangible ways. Proclaim it this morning. Write it down. Rejoice. And whatever it may be, whatever you may be holding on to, walking through, look, behold, proclaim His glory. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Summit Upstate's mission is to give every man, woman, and child repeated opportunities to see, hear, and respond to the gospel. For more information about Summit Upstate and other available resources, check out our website at summitupstate.org.